Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The issue of social strata, of place in society, is pretty well established even these days. Most of you know to which part of society you belong, don't you? The world is full of cues about it, right? It's pretty clear, for the most part, where most of us belong. Maybe some of us drift between social strata and place in society, but we all, whether we consciously acknowledge it or not, know sort of where we belong. We're constantly having it reinforced for us, sometimes in huge ways and sometimes in very subtle ways. We're reminded where we belong. In our trip to Europe recently, as we were driving around Berlin, the tour guide, who was from East Germany, she was a very, very nice lady, but she kept alternating her riffs on what it was like to be from East Germany with, oh, and by the way, here is Nordstrom's, and here's this shop, and you can shop over here. And I kept wondering, she just assumed that since we were all from the United States, we must all be wealthy and have lots of money and want to shop while we were in Berlin. She made an assumption about our social strata. As Jesus approaches this dinner on this day, it's fun because it says that he was at a luncheon that was given by one of the leaders of the Pharisees, and that they were watching him closely. And I thought, and he was apparently watching them closely, because he noticed that many of them took the highest place. And he draws from the proverb that we heard in the first lesson to remind them. It says that he told them a parable, but it's not a parable. It's a proverb. He tells them that, you know, when you're invited to something, you should take the lowest place. Because if you take the highest place, you might be invited away. Has that ever happened to you? We don't have a lot of that in our culture these days. We have an illusion that somehow, at least in the United States, that everybody's sort of equal, right? We have this illusion that we're all in it together and everybody has a place. But go to a formal wedding and you will see that social strata enforced. Where do you sit, or where you sit, is really important in a formal dinner, especially at a wedding, at the meal. And people will spend, brides will spend hours trying to figure out where to seat people, right? I mean, there is the issue of, do we really want to put Uncle Frank next to Aunt Janine? Probably not. But more importantly, whether we know it, whether we realize it or not, how close you are to the head table says something about your importance. That happens throughout society. And Jesus looks at that and he says, be humble. Be humble. Well, it's hard to do sometimes. And in fact, one of the issues that we have around our children these days is the idea that we're constantly telling our children how wonderful they are and how excellent they are and that they are the best in the world and that nothing can stop them, right? All of those things, which are all hopefully true. But we forget to also teach them humility. We forget to say, be all you can be, but don't trample everybody on the way. Let others be all they can be. What Jesus is doing is not eliminating social strata by any means, but he turns it on its head. As I was doing my preparation for this sermon, I listened to a story by one of the theologians who had taken an overseas trip, and she was late for the plane. And she was talking about how we reinforce social place over and over again. And she was kind of late getting into the terminal, and so everyone had already boarded the plane. And as she came up to the gate, there were two lines. On the left, there was the red carpet, and it said, "First class passengers only." There was no one there. And then to the right, there was the maze, right? The line where everyone else is supposed to go, right? And as she was running late, and she came, you know, marching up to the gate, and she had her ticket out, and she went, you know, the shortest possible route, and she boogied right up that first class line, and the gate agent stopped her and said, "Ma'am, this is for first class only." And she's looking around. There's nobody else here. And even when another passenger came up who was first class, you know, she's just looking around, and the woman said, "No, I'm sorry, you'll have to go the other way." And so she walked through the maze, back and forth, the only person in the line, back and forth, and she arrived at the exact same spot. "Well, welcome aboard, ma'am." You don't deserve to take the shortcut. We're reminded time and time again in our society that we get what we deserve. We get what we pay for. And Jesus says, no. When you throw a dinner party, don't invite the people who can repay you, but invite the poor and the lame and the hungry. He turns it on its head. The question that it raised for me is, what does it mean for us as a congregation in the 21st century? Who are we inviting to the banquet? How does our social status and our perceived place in the world speak to that world? Recently, Pastor Steve wrote a consultant, because we're looking at bringing in a consultant to work with some of the congregations here on Oahu and on our neighbor islands, to look at some different ways of doing ministry. And in that, he was giving a synopsis of each congregation. And he said, well, there's the church on Maui, which is a kind of community church and doing exceptionally well. They're worshiping however many each Sunday. And he says St. John is over on the windward side, tends to worship more military people, yada, yada, yada. Calvary by the Sea is an eclectic gathering of people, largely of somewhat wealthier folks, and yada, yada. And I thought, what's he going to say about us? And he said, Lutheran Church of Honolulu is located in the Makiki District and is the high liturgy and music church of the island, and tends to attract professors, teachers, and intellectuals. Apparently they hadn't met me yet. So we get pigeonholed as a congregation as being essentially sort of the upper class intelligentsia who are doing high liturgy. And in doing that, it's almost as if we've taken the higher seat. The fundamental question that gets raised by Jesus' story is that the seat that God is calling us to inhabit? And what does it say about our welcome to every person on the island? One church consultant, he does lots of work, his name is Pat Kiefert. One of the things that Pat says is that your liturgy and your image and who you are in the pew is important because it says something about who's welcome among you. And if the worship that you engage in and the work that you do together on Sunday morning is for those who can repay you, you've missed the gospel. If we only preach sermons that make people feel good about where they are in life, if we only engage folks who are, quote, like us, if our welcome to the poor and the hungry and those who are disenfranchised and unchurched, those who live in our neighborhood, is so tenuous or not obvious, we've missed the gospel. You see, we need to be, Jesus says, defined not by the highest seat of the banquet, but by our mission to the world. Well, that's a really hard word, isn't it? It's hard to hear. It's hard for us to imagine as a congregation that maybe what we do isn't the most welcoming thing in the world for lots of different kinds of people. And it isn't that it's bad, but we need to always be asking the question, who will we invite to the banquet? Or even more importantly, who is God inviting to the banquet when they don't feel welcome at the table? What are the barriers that we set up that prohibits those in the world from sitting down at the meal? Not just us as a congregation, but for the whole church. Do we understand that the luncheon, that the banquet, that the feast is for everyone? And that God is the host? I think Jesus takes that proverb really seriously and calls us in the church to humility, to be humble in our mission, to be drawn into the life of those who maybe are least like us, and yet like us in that they need and desire and want God. There's nothing we can do about the social strata. There probably isn't a whole lot we can do about how we are perceived as a congregation, as a worshiping community, except to issue the invitation. To understand that when the offering plate goes around, you're not paying to be here. And nor are you going to get in the sermon or in the music or whatever what you paid for. But rather that you have been receiving the gift of grace of God. And that our job is not to hold it for ourselves, to grasp onto it and say, this is us, this is who we are. But to ask who it is that God calls us to be. And to bring comfort for those who are hungry and homeless and churchless, for those who have been left unwelcome in other places. I don't think Pastor Steve's description of us was meant to be comprehensive, and it certainly isn't. But it's easy for us to pigeonhole ourselves. And what Jesus does is pull us out of the pigeonhole and lay us open for God's mission. That all are welcome to the banquet. And that our place at the table is with Christ, who in this text, as he turns his face to the cross, invites us to the banquet, to the crucifixion, to the resurrection, and to life. I encourage the kids to go out and be a noun. I would encourage us to go out and be a verb. Amen. I'll let you figure out which verb.